Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
When we're back, it's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. And if you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And you're gonna get smarter, too, because we got one of our really smart guys in the Brain Trust back with us. Henry Hines is back. Henry is a patent attorney, or as they call themselves these days, an intellectual property attorney. He's a chemical engineer by education, a patent attorney by education and experience, and a partner in the law firm of Townsend, Townsend & Crew, which is headquartered in San Francisco. He's been advising organizations like yours and mine on their intellectual property for decades. His book is called Patents for Business, like yours and mine. He's our good friend. Henry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be back on the show.
It's good to have you back. How are things in San Francisco?
Oh, things are great. Things are great. The book sales are going well, and the patent business is still strong. The verdicts that are coming out these days are still very high. They're upwards of $100 million when you
wow.
lose a patent suit. And so it's really an extremely important asset for small businesses and large businesses alike.
Tell us about some of those verdicts and some of the dynamics of some of these verdicts you're talking about.
Well, you know, they're so high that so many of these cases settle out of court because they
is this where somebody infringes on somebody else's patent or is that what it is?
That's absolutely right, because patents are they're so strong in terms of coverage, and they cover some very, very basic technologies. There's some interesting questions are coming up lately about what should be patentable and what shouldn't.
But here's a question, Henry. Two behemoth companies, they got lawyers coming out their ears. They got people like you coming out their ears that they can help them with these things. One company has a patent. The other one has got to know about that patent because it's public knowledge. A patent is what a patent is. It's made available to the public. You got to know what your competitor is doing, and yet they do stuff that winds up being brought to court as an infringement, and maybe they lose. How does that happen, Henry?
Well, you know what happens is they take a really close look at the patent, and they look at various ways that they can attack it and challenge it in
yeah.
court. And if they succeed in doing that, then they don't they would be liable for patent infringement. And that kind of analysis.
But if they fail, you told me either just now or off the air, I've forgotten when, that you know it could be a $100 million judgment.
Well, not only that, but you've got your attorney fees and
yeah.
the typical patent.
And all the investment that you've made in this idea of challenging the patent that you got to lose.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. But, you know, there are also a lot of patents out there that shouldn't be there. There are a lot of invalid
yeah.
patents because there are things that people can do and not tell the patent office, not be totally upfront with the patent
right.
examiners. And that can impact on the validity of the patent and also... a lot of these things are just not novel, and the inventors and the companies that own the patents didn't know it at the time. So,
and sometimes the plaintiff in the case is just trying to intimidate the other person. They may not have a case, but they may just be trying to intimidate the other company to get them to stop or just to mess with them, right?
That's absolutely. There's a lot of that going on. I had a case recently where the patent very, very clearly didn't cover the accused infringing device, and we explained that to the other side, and they still wouldn't buy it. They just forged right ahead and decided to throw all kinds of money at us. And
at what point in time does the judge just throw that out?
Well, there are various times. You can do it in preliminary motions. You can do it on summary judgments and anywhere throughout the process. But,
of course, you're always asking for a summary judgment. That's the first thing out of your mouth, right?
That's right, yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely. So one of the we were talking about the breadth of patents and the types of things that are patentable and not patentable. There's a case that's coming up to the Supreme Court, and all the patent attorneys are waiting for the outcome of this. This is having to do with patents on business methods, and that's a relatively new development because
right.
business methods didn't used to be considered patentable, and then somebody...
It sounds intuitive, but tell us what that is.
Well, you know, it's ways of doing business, accounting methods, financial methods, and you get into the financial technologies and mm-hmm. the internet technologies, and a lot of things there that really border very much on the way people think.
Right.
And it's becoming pretty clear that some of these are just getting out of hand, they're getting too broad. And it's kind of infringing on areas that you really don't want to get locked up in a patent.
Right. Like when somebody patented the little window that says, thank you for your patience, we're processing your order right now.
That's right.
That's a true story, folks. That actually happened. And there was an infringement case about it, too. Stand by, quick break. Right back with our good friend Henry Harris. We're going to talk some more about patenting business processes. Here's Fleetwood Mac to take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging out with me and being part of my day. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and all the other things we do, including our Brain Trust members and our blog and our newsletter, et cetera, et cetera. And the small business, and then askjim.biz is our knowledge base. That's where you get small business answers now. Askjim.biz. So check that out. Use it to your advantage. Henry Hines is our guest. He's the author of Patents for Business. And Henry, I need you to give us your website too, please.
It's henryhines.com. And the Hines is H-E-I-N-E-S.
Yeah, not like the ketchup.
Not like the ketchup, no.
Yeah, he's H-E-I-N-E-S, not a Z. And so... So, Henry, you were talking to... By the way, at your book, at your website, can we find out more about your book, Patents for Business?
Yeah, I've actually got two books. This is the second book.
Right.
And then they're both highlighted on the website. It shows you... there are synopses of the book. There are a lot of reviews of the book. I've had some great reviews on the patent blogs and a lot of the media. So, there's a lot of information on it and how to obtain it. And there's even a picture of me.
Yeah, how about that?
That's
important. That's the best part. That's exactly right. So, Henry, we're talking about business processes and actually patent business. Let's give us a down-to-earth, mainstream example of a business process, and then let's talk about how to patent it.
Well, there are business processes are methods of inventory, methods of manipulating merchandise, methods of processing information as part of your sales methods. There really is no end to it. But it's like everything else. You have to be aware that there is a lot of novelty out there, novelty in a lot of things, and many, many things are patentable. It's a sense of getting a mindset, thinking in terms of patentability, and understanding that any innovation, any new idea that you can come up with has a possibility of being a patentable subject matter. So it's that kind of creative thought, and any corporation, any small business, or any enterprise at all has creative people and new ideas and solving problems on a daily basis. And once
so everybody, every company has those kinds of things, and typically, whether we even realize it or not, we maintain them as trade secrets, right?
Trade secrets, and sometimes you just kind of keep them to yourself or keep them within the company and not even think about doing it.
Not even realize that you've got something that's got value.
Getting legal protection for it, a solid legal instrument, because it's much more valuable that way and much easier to protect.
Well, see, as you start realizing that you've developed something that's giving you a little bit of a competitive advantage, a little bit of an edge, and it starts looking like a thing, it looks like, you know, okay, if we do things clockwise, it works better than if we do things counterclockwise. Well, that's a revelation about a business process, isn't it?
that's absolutely a potentially patentable idea. I would call that a candidate for a patentable invention.
Yeah.
What you have to do then is talk to your patent attorney and see what the various options are for how you can claim that and set that up as an invention, putting that in the legal framework.
Mm-hmm. But at some point in time, though, how do you decide when it's better as a trade secret than it is as a patent? I mean, obviously the classic one is the Coca-Cola formula, you know, or Colonel Sanders' 11 herbs and spices, you know, and whatever. At some point in time, you know, it's better to keep it as a trade secret if you can than it is to make it a patent, because once it becomes patented and you actually get the patent, it goes out of pending. That's for the world to see.
Well, it has to be something that you can keep secret, for one thing.
Right.
Many of these inventions and ways of doing business and products and processes and the various services that companies provide are really, in order for them to get them out there and make money off of them, they expose them to the public. So not everything can be kept a secret,
mm-hmm.
of course. And the other problem with trade secrets is that the scope of the secret is pretty much limited exactly to the secret itself. When you get a patent, you can actually get down to the bare bones and scope it out and get yourself some breadth so that it's hard to sidestep. You remember, Coca-Cola, of course, is the most famous trade secret, but there are a lot of imitations out there.
Right.
And they're very, very similar to Coke, and they probably come up with an alternative formulation that's very, very close to it, and they're not protected by the trade secret. So there are limitations on trade secrets, and they're very easily extinguishable, I should say, by anybody violating the trade secret. So.
Well, Henry, as you know, one of my jobs over the last 10 and a half years has been just to get small business owners to think about leveraging intellectual property. Everybody has it. We're all creating it, some more than others. But every single person listening to my voice right now is, if you're in business, you're creating intellectual property. And I don't know, and Henry doesn't know, when you should start protecting it, when you should start paying attention to who it is an asset. But at some point in time, that's going to happen. And my goal, Henry, is just to get people to think about that.
And the sooner the better, because you sit on your rights and you tend to dilute them and they tend to go away. You really got in the early stage in the development, before you start thinking about commercialization, get something on file in the patent office. Get a patent attorney to whip up something for you and to sit down and talk with you and scope it out and put it in the legal framework.
Yeah.
Get the process rolling there.
Absolutely. Yeah, no question about it. Henry, hang on to that thought. We're going to come right back, folks, and talk some more about the importance of intellectual property in your business, the intellectual property that you have already. You own it. You're leveraging it. But are you leveraging it properly, and are you protecting it? 10 till. Stay right back with Henry Hines, the author of Patents for Business. Here's ZZ Top. Take us out. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, Little Chicago, bringing us back. Henry Hines is our guest. H-E-I-N-E-S is how you spell his last name. If you're looking for him online, he's the author of Patents for Business. He is a patent attorney with the firm of Townsend, Townsend and Crew out of San Francisco, but they work all over the world. Henry, how would you advise somebody if they came to you and said, I've got this idea, or I've got this process. Somebody listening right now called you up and said, you know, I heard you talking to Blassingame, and I've got this process that my business is, that I've developed for my business. It works for me. I don't know if anybody else is using it, but it sure helps me to do a better job with my business. And I'd like to get out front of this thing. Help me decide if this is something I should, when I should leave, when I should depart from being a trade secret to actually investing the money in a patent.
Well, the first thing I would ask was, this process, has it actually been in use? When you say it's a trade secret, that suggests that you've already been using it.
I've been using it for 5 years, and we perfect it a little bit more every year.
Yeah, okay. Well, then you have you have a situation where you can't claim what you've been using for 5 years because
if it's commercial.
There's a one-year window there where you have a time to file a patent.
Thank you for reminding me of that. It's a foreclosure rule, isn't it?
That's right. Absolutely. What you've got to do then, what the attorney will tell you, what I'll tell the client is that let's look at what you've done recently on that and your most recent development, and that's what we can patent now.
So the fact that, now folks, here's I want to land on this for a second. Remember, whenever you develop something, you've got, and you put it into commercial use, you've got 1 year to patent it or you're foreclosed from patenting it. But the key to what I told you, Henry, was that we've been updating it every year, right?
That's right. Yeah, and it's
that's
those
what
updates.
Gives you a hook, doesn't it?
Yeah, that gives you a hook. That it's those updates that will get you around that 1 year problem. And it's like everything else. All these new ideas, all these new developments, improvements—they're all probably candidates for patentable inventions. They should.
So,
all be
what
considered.
If this is a process? This is a process, though, so that we're going to continue to improve. So, if I file for a patent on a process this year, and we keep improving it, by the time I get a patent on what I filed, does it? What if it becomes, you know, kind of null and void?
Well, when you do a lot of brainstorming when you file a patent application, you think ahead as to what the implications are and what the possible variations are going to be. So your properly written patent application will have enough breadth to it to cover what you're going to do with that process in the coming years. Now, there still is the possibility that you will branch out from it and step outside the scope of your own patent, and there are various things that you can do there. You can refile the patent in a broader version. You can do it independently. You can do it as an addendum to your existing patent. Are there any number of things you could do? You just kind of have to be on top of it and keep in contact with an attorney to help guide you through the whole process.
What would it cost to? What would be a typical cost to get a process patented?
Well, I think typical cost of getting anything patented, if it's done properly, should be somewhere between $12,000 and $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's to get the application on file. And you've got to be careful. If somebody's giving you an offer to do it for $2,000, then you're probably not going to get your money's worth.
Or that's just to get the camel's nose under the tent, and it'll still wind up costing you $20,000.
Yeah. Now, there are ways that you can stretch that money out, though. You can file a provisional application, which will generally cost you less. But again, the amount of time and effort and money that you put into it at the outset will affect the strength of the final product.
Don't I need to be prepared, though, if before I invest in a patent, don't I need to also be prepared to defend that patent?
And you need to work that into the patent itself. So you need to have a strategy built into the patent. And again, this is another area where your lawyer can help you a great deal. You have to be ready to withstand challenges and kind of have to predict what possible challenges can come through, and even to put in backup positions in your patent that can help you fall back on if you need to.
Well, because, I mean, somebody is going to find your patent and try to breach it. Probably, and you've got to be able to go. You got to be prepared to go after them.
Well, considering how much somebody could lose in a patent infringement suit, sure, they're going to find all kinds of ways. They're going to come up with all kinds of ideas as to why your patent isn't worth beans.
Right.
The legal challenges to a patent can be very, 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 very effective and very strong and very, very hard to fight against. So you have
Now you know why we like Henry, because he talks about these complicated issues in plain English. His book's that way too, Patents for Business. Henry Hines, and it's henryhines.com, HEINES.com. Henry, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure, absolutely.
We'll see you next time and enjoyed it very much. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.